to the Able Voice Podcast, where your voice is more than a melody, planting seeds in the growing field of clinical music therapy. It's the Able Voice Podcast with Haley and Kim.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another Able Voice Debrief. I am really excited to dig into this reflection that Haley and I have today. Today we're going to be talking about the episodes with Sandy Curtis, as well as with the ladies of the Creative Dementia Collective. I find for me, both of them, there's lots of parallels in the way that we interact with people, I think, and the way that, you know, we approach the work that we do with individuals, both inside therapy and outside. So I remember after those conversations, Haley, you and I had lots to say, and we kind of had to pause ourselves knowing that we would have this conversation. So I'm wondering if there are any major takeaways or things that are resonating with you about either or both of those lovely conversations.
What you said already, I think about what comes to mind for me most is that this transcendence of what happens on the outside world or outside of the therapy space and the way that it comes into therapy and vice versa. In both episodes, the one with Sandy Curtis, I think it touched my heart so much just because, you know, the stories that she has to hold within the work of caring for women survivors of violence, it's heavy stuff. It's heavy stuff. It's real world stuff. Things that you can't ignore about the world are coming into the therapy space. And that's always happened, but for some reason, I feel like there has been this bubble placed around therapy work where we forget that the world still happens. Like the world, real world still happens outside of that space. Yes, we create a safe space for people to come in, a brave space for people to come in and to maybe get a little bit more insight, some support, you know, some tools that can help them to better navigate their world on the outside, but the real world still continues. And what are we doing about all of the real issues and the real problems, the systemic things that are challenging for the people that we're serving in therapy? I love that Sandy Curtis has taken it upon herself to create resources for people to, you know, do all of these things that she didn't have to do within her role as a therapist. She could have just seen the people that were coming to her and left it at that. But she's added on to this in really wanting to provide the best continuum of care for somebody who is experiencing or is a survivor of violence, which I found really, really, really beautiful to listen to and to sit down with during that chat. Similarly, with the ladies of CDC, we've had conversations with them before, but it's always so lovely to sit down and chat with them because I love their perspective on care. It was a great reminder listening to them that some of the challenges that we see or we try to, you know, meet, not necessarily treat, but like some of the challenges that we try to meet and support within our roles as care providers and care partners is something that can also bridge into our realities. And for the stories that were shared about how the diagnosis of dementia can also affect our real lives. And sometimes that duality of, you know, being a therapist, but also dealing with this at home can be something that is a real struggle for a lot of people to even separate in their work, to be able to continue to provide support for this particular in-group of people or this particular diagnosis, and then have to also deal with that at home. We talked about that with Tamara when she was on the podcast and having an autistic child in the home and working with autistic kids in her practice. Like these are things that are happening in real life that we need to figure out a way to talk about them more, because that bridge of like the real world coming into therapy and vice versa is something that happens so frequently. One of the highlights for me in the episode are like the ding dong, I don't know what you want to call it, moments for me, because I love working with the population of dementia. I love. That's what I love to do. And I never thought about it this way. I don't remember which lady said this, but it was that we shouldn't always think about the relationship between us and our loved one with dementia as a one-sided thing, that we are always the ones that are providing care to that person. There's nothing saying that that person, especially if they're our elder, or if they have like a paternal or maternal relationship to us, that they don't want to also still have opportunity to care for us. That was so beautiful for me because I think that's something that I had overlooked in terms of the way that I was connecting with the disease and really looking at it. And that was really beautiful for me to sit back and learn about or have new perspective on.
That was a piece that I really resonated with too, Haley, because I think in the context of therapy, right, we come to the space, we get what we know about the person. And yes, we're gathering more information about them as we go through the process, but we come with a lens, right? We know why they're coming to us. We know them in the context of therapy. And when they brought that up, I was like, oh yeah, even within my relationships outside of therapy, like we are so varied. And there are certain people in my life who meet musician Kim, but they don't meet the administrative Kim, or they meet bubbly happy Kim, but they don't meet, like, I don't know, the other side, many sides of things that we do, the hobbies. They don't meet, you know, 10-year-old Kim who was obsessed with horseback riding. Like, these are all these things. And especially in dementia care, we see the person where they're at. And yeah, sometimes we go back to those memories, but there's so many, there's our professions, there's mothers or whatever, parents. We hold so many hats. And I found that such a fascinating reminder, not only within the context of therapy, especially when you're doing, you know, heavy work, or, you know, in the case of working with women survivors of violence, seeing our story beyond that context and seeing the, like, finding those empowering moments, but also outside of the context of therapy in my relationships, you know, the relationships with our parents, of remembering, oh yeah, you were a 5-year-old at one point, or you were in university. Like, I have this lens of you as my parent, but you're a whole human being. I think that's so important to remind ourselves of, both as clinicians and as humans. You know, and as you were talking before, Haley, you were talking about, you know, the weight that sometimes these things and sessions that we're holding, but also the things that the external world puts on participants, puts on us as clinicians, things that are going on in our life and the way that they impact us. You know, how do we show up to therapy if our world is chaotic? And so, and that's actually something I've been exploring a little bit recently too, again, with myself, but with some colleagues, because the world has been heavy for a really, really long time. And I'm seeing individuals' worlds feeling heavy, you know, with our personal lives and people experiencing stuff that way. And it's a really big challenge to continue to show up in your professional world when your personal world feels chaotic, whether it's because of external things or because the work that you're doing is heavy. And I'm curious if you have, I mean, any thoughts on that or any ways that you manage that? Because I think I have a little bit of an answer, but I think it's something that, you know, I'm still learning and growing and evolving as different demands and different things come in.
To be honest, I think that's something I'm still trying to work out for myself. That is part of practice that I haven't mastered yet, nor do I know if I'll ever master. But what I do value is that there are people out there who have noted that this is a challenge, or that this is a gap in a lot of people's lives where they need more resources. And so they've done just that, to create resources that will help to support that experience, because we know that there are a lot of question marks around. So not only did Sandy Curtis create resources beyond her work with the women survivors of violence, but also the CDC also created this really nifty resource for care partners and for clinicians that are working with people that have dementia, because we are also considered care partners. And I love that fast definition of what a care provider is. In one of the activities that they were highlighting, it was one where they were like drawing portraits of themselves. And it came to mind as you were talking about all the different versions of yourself, Kim. And I love that image because all of us, I think, have these different versions of ourselves as we grow throughout life. And it's like, how are we picturing ourselves right now? What is the value or the meaning behind how we're seeing ourselves at any given time? I live on TikTok right now. On TikTok, I saw the story of this lady who just had a baby, and she was asking her mom, like, now that I'm in this new experience, like, what was your favorite stage in my life? Like, what was your favorite stage of being a mother? And the mother gave the answer, and I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not exactly sure, like, the word for word quote that was said, but it was essentially, you know, when you were born, my life changed. And that was my favorite moment. And then you turned one and you learned to do all of these little things. And that was my favorite moment. And then you turned five and you started to run around the house and do all of these wild things. And we would have dance parties and XYZ. And that was my favorite moment. And then you were 10 and you were graduating and, you know, all of these milestone moments, and that became my favorite moment. And then you graduated high school and that became my favorite moment. And then you went to university and that became my favorite moment. And now I see you with your own baby, and this has become my favorite version of you. And so no matter what we are, what stage we're in life, what iteration of ourselves we are in life, we can always use that opportunity to see the beauty in it and celebrate all of those versions for what they are. And I think that's such a beautiful way to see our experiences with others as well.
I'm not crying. You are crying. That made me emotional in like the best way possible. But just like you said, to take that step back and look at the journey, which is something that you and I talk about a lot of, you know, our journey. And we talk about it a lot looking forward, almost of like, you know, the next phase of our journey, or we're in this current phase of our journey. But now I'm looking at it from that like reflections point of the people that we're working with or ourselves, right? And I love that story. I might have to go scroll on TikTok for a bit and see if it comes to me, see if I'm on the right side of TikTok. But I even love that for ourselves, right? Like, how often do we get caught up in what we're doing or what we need to become or where we need to go? And I think that's the same for the people that we work with. We're coming to therapy because we're looking to better ourselves or to process something or to put something behind us, or maybe not, maybe to just find alignment. But that sentiment of, oh yeah, this happened and that was my favorite, or that was my favorite version of myself, or this is my favorite, or this is the best, or this is great, just kind of following the milestones. What a nice self-love activity, or even a partnership activity of just pacing through. Oh yeah, remember all these things, all these iterations of myself, all of these rooms for growth, all of these perspective shift, because I really believe that, I mean, we're obviously a makeup of our journeys, and our journeys are very much impacted by the people that we interact with, and we take on pieces of them and the way that we interacted. And so to be able to kind of look back on that, and as a personal self-reflection thing, but also to hold in mind as we're working with people and knowing that, yeah, this is where we are in this moment, but there is so much else coming into the mix. And how do we need to make sure that we can hold that in mind for, you know, for the sake of building relationship and empowerment, but also just to be aware of, because there are things that we've experienced in our life that are going to color the way that we interact with something in therapy or interact with another experience in the world.
Are there ways that you are able to support yourself when the external world bridges with the what's happening in the therapy space for you? I didn't give such a great answer around that. No. I kind of veered off a little bit into my thoughts, but
no, I disagree. I think that you did give a good answer, because I think that what you said was so validating to myself and to others. And I resonate, right? Like, I don't have a picture perfect answer. And sometimes that feels crummy to say, because you have people come and ask you and you're like, man, I think this is a huge question. And it's a huge thing that not only our field, but any care providing field is navigating, or there's so much. And so for me, I think I've navigated this many, many times in my life as a clinician, navigating burnout for various reasons, but also this year has had some turbulence and I've kind of felt those ins and outs of my cup is full. I am holding a lot within clinical settings, but also my world just feels chaotic and I don't feel grounded. And so, there are little things I try to do to get back on track, which I don't think are mind-breaking things like my self-care, or for me, I'm such a physical person and I like, this might sound silly, but I like write out my entire month or like several months and not in my decal, or it's more of the activity than the actual physical thing. And just like writing all of the things down that are holding space in my brain. And that gives me like a little tiny sense of grounding. Cause for me, what I find is that when my world is chaotic, I'm chaotic. I don't have an answer of how like a quick fix, and it's all these little things that I'm feeling chaotic right now, even as I speak. And I'm looking at, my desk and there are some things that aren't put away, and I'm looking at my calendar and there's things that need to happen. And so I think knowing that it's temporary, I hope that helps me remind myself of, okay, it's temporary. And then I look for a gap to see, okay, where can I take some time for myself? Because clearly I'm holding things that I need to let out. And these are the times where I'll either, ramp up my supervision or go to counseling or have more times with friends. But even then, that can be hard to reach out to when you're feeling chaotic. So yeah, I guess I don't really have a groundbreaking response either. And I think that that's okay. And I think that we pick up these little tidbits again along the journey. And so reflecting on other times that maybe I've been chaotic might be helpful here, or in the world been chaotic, to see what got me through there. And then how can I be utilizing that? But also just these conversations are so helpful. And I'm really hoping that someone out there is listening and is like, I figured it out, guys. I'm going to make some resources. So if you're listening and you have
do it.
We want to hear them, please.
Yeah. I think the next debrief that we're going to get into will cover some of this as well. And they've been some of my favorite conversations all season. So for these to lead into that, I think is a perfect kind of segue into all that we were talking about, our ups and downs, ebbs and flows. It's such a beautiful picture of life and a reminder of us working with real people come with these kinds of intricacies, and knowing that every experience is valuable and deserves praise in whatever way that looks like. I'm thinking of all of the people that have left working with Sandy Curtis feeling just so much more empowered and invigorated in the investment toward their own care. I think that was a really great sentiment to take away from me. And I hope the same for all of us. Everyone that's listening, I hope that you have that same passion for the investment into your own care, because it is important.
Thank you for listening to the Able Voice podcast. If you want to hear more episodes like this, subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media at Synergy Music Therapy.
You can also find links to our most recent and top-rated episodes on our website at www.synergymusictherapy.com.